All right.
It's time for us to find out what's going on with Silejo. Silejo Tsatsi's in here for Anthea this morning with the money shot. How are you, man?
Very good. Good to be here.
Good.
As always.
Yeah, nice to see you. All right, so how the market's looking, and let's get straight into some shares and some stocks.
Yeah, so we had a ton of results last week, so I'm going to try group them together and look at the general themes that came through.
Go ahead.
So first up was the property sector. We had Into reporting. Into operates big major UK shopping centers. And as you can imagine, that's not going so well at the moment because of the shift to online retail, online shopping.
Are they on the South African stock market?
Yes, yeah, so they dual listed. They listed here in the UK. And they reported that their rental income for 2019 is going to be down about 9%.
Oh, wow.
And they expect 2020 to be down, although not as bad as 9%.
But not a rosy outlook.
Yeah, not a rosy outlook at all. They also need to sell some assets and potentially go to shareholders for more money because they need to bring their debt levels down. So it's a bit of a perverse cycle because as your assets become less valuable, your debt ratio obviously spikes up.
Yeah, it goes up.
Yeah, it's kind of a...
I would expect that though for a property business in this country, and we can talk about Redefine and some of the others in a moment, but this is UK shopping malls.
Yes.
So is that economy not necessarily growing, or do they have enough shops? Do they have too few customers? What do you think?
I think maybe e-commerce is a big factor.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's happening in South Africa as well.
Good point.
A lot of retail space is left empty, or you can pick it up for quite cheap.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see 10, 15 years from now, because I think we're perhaps a bit behind that in that trend versus a place like the UK. Where does South African online retail look in perhaps 5, 10 years?
Have you ever thought what will happen to all these shopping malls once we don't need them?
Well, I mean, even the big retailers like Woolworths and Pick and Pay are looking at ways now where they can create a sort of hybrid of online e-commerce and physical shopping.
Sure.
So that's the way it's going forward.
So Silejo, how are Redefine doing while we're talking property?
Yeah, so Redefine's in a bit of a better space than Into. They're still kind of, the share looks like it'll perhaps be stuck over the next year or so. It's on a forward yield of 12%. So if you buy it today and the rating stays the same, you'll bank about 12%. But they're saying that they also want to fix up their balance sheet a bit, so they're going to be disposing of a few assets, about 8 billion rand worth. And they did raise about 5 billion rand in debt last year. So it's, I would say the sector as a whole is in a bit of in flux at the moment, I would say.
All right. Would you be buying property stocks now?
Very cautiously. Generally, no, would be my answer. But I suppose here and there are probably opportunities.
Do you ever foresee a point where we're going to have saturated the shopping mall market in South Africa? Because they seem to be building them everywhere, and there's just no off button.
So in my opinion, yes. I think, if anything, we're pretty close to that.
Yeah, I think we've basically done it.
Yeah. So I would say yes. I think that we're pretty close.
Because a lot of these shopping malls, they're huge and they're empty.
Yeah.
They first of all can't find anyone to take up rental space in them. Second of all, they don't have any customers walking through them.
And we're building, or they're being built into an economy, as we'll see from the retailers and their results just now, that is not really growing.
Yeah.
So, I struggle to see the thinking behind it.
Which brings us to retail. Talk me through some of those.
Yeah, so the general theme that comes through from all of these results is that it's still very tough out there. So I don't want to hop on this because every time I come through here, I say the same thing. But the economy locally isn't growing and the consumer's under pressure. So if we look at a company such as Dis-Chem, for example, this is perhaps one of the major stories of the week. They reported that their earnings were down 38%, roughly 40%. Now, there were some once-offs. They grew their sales by about 13%, and there were some once-offs within that earnings number.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, the story with Dis-Chem has been that it's been a very highly rated stock, and people have looked at it and said, this could be the next Clicks. So Clicks has been one of the best performers on the JSE over the last 10 plus years.
Okay.
Clicks at the moment is on a forward 31 PE multiple, which is very high. So it's very highly rated. Because of that, Dis-Chem has kind of enjoyed some of that halo effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's only listed recently, and the idea has been they can roll out a lot more stores, so they're growing off a smaller base than Clicks, and so you could have a very nice growth story from Dis-Chem. Up until now, though, that hasn't come through. So even in these results, you just tend to get all of these once-off earnings impacts that hit the earnings number, and because of that, Dis-Chem has never really, up until now, delivered on what it.
Isn't it really hard if you're a Dis-Chem, for example, to know how many stores to roll out and how fast? Because obviously there are implications on the balance sheet for all of that. But also, if you don't get those stores out in time and you don't get them in the right places, you miss the opportunity to grow.
Exactly, yes. And it's I can sympathize a bit in the sense that when you have a store expansion story as they do, sometimes you have to incur costs before you actually get the revenue coming through from these new stores.
Right.
But I think the shares held up very well. So it was down about 9% on Monday after they put out a trading update Friday before last. But throughout the week, it actually recovered very surprisingly. So it'll be interesting to see how it does in their next set of results.
All right, talk to me about Truworths.
So Truworths in a difficult spot, similar to, we had Truworths and Fashini reporting, mm-hmm. both of our apparel retailers. Truworths had sales only up 2%. They have a UK business and sales there was flat. And then in South Africa, sales were up 3%. Inflation's only about, or is about 4.5%, so they're growing less than inflation. Essentially, all they can do at the moment is manage their costs.
And sure.
We saw that in Fashini's numbers. So they had earnings up 3%. And a big driver of that was them growing their costs by only 4.5%. So because we don't have a lot of revenue growth in the sector or the economy at the moment, the retailers are having to pull costs to keep things afloat.
Well, good. They're doing a good job of it by the sound of things.
Yeah, I think given this, I don't know how much longer they can keep doing it, but at the moment they are doing a good job of it.
All right, let's talk a little bit about, are there any other things in retail you want to talk about before we go overseas?
I would say just one more, AVI. Mm-hmm. So they do things
like... Who are they again?
Sorry?
Who are they? What do they do?
Yeah, so they do things like Baker's Biscuits, Eat Some More. They've also got a clothing business and I&J, a fishing business. They're quite diversified. They reported that sales and operating profit was only up 2%, and it's kind of a similar story. Not much growth coming through, but it's a very well managed, high quality company.
So does that tell you a story about the South African economy then?
I think that encapsulates it.
Yeah.
All right, let's go overseas then and look at some offshore stocks. Richemont, which is owned by, among others, the Rupert family.
Yes, so they own Cartier, probably one of the bigger brands. They actually had pretty decent results. The problem was Hong Kong, which is a big territory for them, was down just over 10%.
Well, that's because it's an unstable place at the moment, right?
Exactly.
Nobody's buying fancy watches and and
not even buying Hong Kong in Hong Kong.
No. So at the moment, that's obviously a big market that's kind of closed to them right now.
Yes. So China, Hong Kong, and Macau are 25% roughly of Richemont sales. So if you're down there 10%, that's obviously going to have a big impact. Mm-hmm. And then they're also investing very heavily into e-commerce.
Oh.
Which is quite interesting. It'll be interesting to see how they... Because it's one thing to do e-commerce for, you know, your general groceries, but to do it for high-end luxury will be quite interesting. Hmm. And then they also commented that they're not looking to buy Tiffany. So one of their big rivals, LVMH, which owns Louis Vuitton, made a bid of roughly $15 billion for Tiffany a couple of weeks ago.
And everybody thought, well, Richemont's going to now counter that with their own offer.
Exactly, yes.
They haven't.
Yes, and they've basically, without saying it, they said, we're not going
in
there.
Okay. How about Uber?
Yes, so Uber is going through a tough time. They listed in May of this year, and the share's down about 40% since then. On Wednesday, the lockup for when insiders could sell expired. So you would think that's going to put additional pressure on the share. And they reported in their third quarter results that they've now lost about $2.5 billion in the first 9 months of this year. So essentially, investors, every time you go on an Uber ride, you're being subsidized by investors because it is not profitable at all.
Wow, that's hectic. Huh?
It's quite, the numbers are staggering.
All right, well, how about Expedia? They're a travel website, right?
Yes. So an online travel agent or OTA. And they were saying that Google is essentially infringing on their territory. And they're doing this by, so every time you put a travel query into Google, mm-hmm. instead of an Expedia link popping up, more of that traffic is being sent to a Google product like Google Flights or Google Hotels.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yes, and Google's gotten into trouble for behavior like this in the past and, you know, anti-competitive. Uh-huh. Expedia was down 27% on the day that they reported these results because no one wants to compete with Google, essentially. So
right.
As an investor, when you see, you know, the words Google is killing us, you just want to hit for the doors and run.
Mm. Yeah, because there's no point. You can't fight this 800-pound gorilla.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's just terrifying. So Google, again, showing you that they are not friendly. They are probably your biggest fear.
Probably your worst nightmare.
Yeah, because they know everything and then they use it against us. God damn it. What are we going to do? All right, Selejo, anything else you want to throw in?
So one other interesting thing was Alibaba's Singles Day.
Yes.
We had some numbers from that. So
that's always their biggest sales day, right?
Exactly, yes. Kind of equivalent to Black Friday.
Right.
And they reported, so they generated $8.7 billion of sales in the first 20 minutes of that day, which is
$8.7 billion. Just think about that.
It's mind-boggling, which
it's
puts...
insane.
Yeah, it puts the scale of that business into context.
Wow. Good for them. All right. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Always good
always.
To see you. Thank you, Selejo. Selejo Tsatsi is from, he's also in the Money Shot. He's doing it for Anthea this week, but he's from Cartesian Capital as well. CliffCentral.com.